Annenberg Radio News.
We don't need this unnecessary discrimination against our people.
Southern California students voice anger over Arizona's anti-immigrant law. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 29th, 2010. I'm Heather Hope. The law in Arizona that requires immigrants to carry documentation at all times is facing a slew of demonstrations across the country. In Los Angeles, thousands plan to hit the streets of downtown Saturday to protest the law. And now the law may soon face a battle in court. The American Civil Liberties Union, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and the National Immigration Law Center today announced they will challenge the law. Courts have ruled other similar laws unconstitutional, citing immigration laws as under the purview of the federal government, not the states. The law is heating up the immigration debate locally as well. We'll have more on that later in the broadcast. The Center for Responsible Lending predicts that 2 million houses will go into foreclosure by 2010. Jenna Zwang reports from a foreclosed home in South Los Angeles, where the LA City Council president called attention to his proposal to clamp down on banks.
At a foreclosed home near the corner of Florence and Normandy, LA City Council President Eric Garcetti and groups from several different organizations held a news conference to discuss the need for banks to take responsibility for the properties they foreclose on.
Banks should know that they will be held as accountable as any homeowner would be, that they, as property owners, must be responsible property owners. You see, when banks leave homes abandoned and vacant, they devalue the entire neighborhood. They take down everybody with them. They create not only an eyesore for the neighbors here, but often they become a magnet for crime.
According to the Center for Responsible Lending, California has the most foreclosures out of any state, with 25,000 alone in Los Angeles. The new ordinance, if passed, will force banks and investment companies that foreclose on homes to register and maintain them, or face penalties of up to $1,000 a day. City Attorney Carmen Trutanich says when foreclosed homes become run down, they attract lowlifes.
Cockroaches thrive in environments that are safe for them to breed. Abandoned properties like this quickly become that type of environment. Drug dealers, prostitutes, gangs, crooks, no good nicks, they hide and thrive and proliferate in properties that fall into abandonment.
According to the Watts Neighborhood Council, each foreclosure costs the city about $20,000. Garcetti says his ordinance will pay for itself and generate revenue for the city. He also says the main priority is to keep these foreclosures from happening at all and keep families in their homes. Reporting for ARN, I'm Jenna Zwang.
We breathe it in and see it every day. Smog is nothing new to Los Angeles residents. It's no surprise, then, that Los Angeles ranked worst in ozone pollution in a recent report released by the American Lung Association. Following Los Angeles was Bakersfield. Earning the number one spot for cleanest air was Bismarck, North Dakota. Child abuse in Los Angeles has declined, according to a new report released by the Interagency Council on Child Abuse and Neglect. But the infant mortality rate has gone up for every 1,000 live births in 2007. The mortality rate increased from 4.9 to 5.3%. 2007 is the most recent year with complete data to the study. The report blamed the increased use of methamphetamine as the main contributor for increase in deaths. Today, the city's top librarian hosted a literary forum as part of the Million Word Challenge, a program that combats illiteracy among children. City librarian Martin Gomez spoke about the importance of increasing access to urban libraries. Vice President of the LAUSD Board of Education, Yoli Flores, says illiteracy is especially severe in LA, where many students are still learning English.
It's disconcerting. It's a state of real concern when across the nation only 40% of children in fourth grade can read proficiently in fourth grade. In Los Angeles, when we look at third grade, less than 30% of our third graders can read at third grade level.
Mm-hmm.
now for the weather. It's going to be pretty windy outside, so keep your jacket on. There's a wind advisory in effect until 9 p.m. Expect a sunny and cool weekend with highs in the mid-70s and lows in the mid-50s. Later in Annenberg Radio News, we'll talk to the founder of the clothing line FUBU. He'll share his ideas about making your own brand. Los Angeles officials are joining the criticism of the tough new immigration law in Arizona. Today, Mayor Villaraigosa and others called for reform. Ariel Edwards-Levy has more from City Hall.
Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is speaking out against a harsh new immigration law in Arizona.
It requires all law enforcement officers to stop anyone suspected of being in our country illegally. It allows law enforcement to make arrests without a warrant. And I add my voice in strongly opposing this unpatriotic and un-American law.
The mayor says he's calling for a boycott that could take away more than $7 million from Arizona. Other California leaders have made similar statements. State Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg is also calling for the state to boycott. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom is trying to cut all ties to Arizona. They're hoping the boycott will be as successful as previous ones in the 1980s and 90s. Back then, Arizona's refusal to recognize Martin Luther King Day cost it millions of dollars and the Super Bowl. The state eventually gave in. City Councilman Jose Huizar said the new Arizona law had unintentionally united advocates for immigration reform.
We have to thank Arizona and some respect, although we disagree with what they proposed. Because if you see the people behind us here, they're more motivated than ever before to continue the work they've been doing for years to bring comprehensive immigration reform to a finality.
Both he and the mayor are urging the federal government to craft a new immigration policy. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
And now we have Chris Foy talks to students who are angry about the law.
Hey, ho, ho.
Dozens of students and non-students gathered at the center of USC today. Many Latino students voiced their anger towards a new law in Arizona that protesters say is discriminatory. The new law, SB 1070, calls on police to check the documentation of anyone they think is an illegal immigrant. It's a policy protesters say will lead to a targeted assault on the large Hispanic community in Arizona.
I don't think it's fair. I think that it'll inevitably cause a lot of racial profiling.
A few protesters even handcuffed themselves and sat in the center of the group while people took turns expressing their views.
This is kind of our way to show that we don't agree with it, it's wrong, and that we want it repealed. When I was a police officer, it was mostly like, okay, well, that brown guy's running, what did you steal? Or the black guy's running, what did you steal? And so knowing that, and knowing that a lot of my family is a lot darker than me, that's going to set us apart.
We're all human beings, and we all have goals and motivations and emotions, and we don't need this unnecessary discrimination against our people.
But not all at the event opposed the law. Listen as one male student debates with a group of protesters.
What is probable cause? Why would they be pulled over?
Like, let's say Sweetie, for instance.
Okay, no, that's not what the law is in Arizona.
No, so it's a lawful purpose, yeah.
You should probably read it,
though.
It's
a lawful purpose.
Okay. Well, there's like, maybe you should just keep it on.
One protester takes offense to something said we cannot repeat on the air, and it doesn't end well.
Come on, you guys, take it easy.
It's just one emotional scene in the many that have erupted since the law was signed last week, and perhaps a sign of even more to come as some in Congress begin to push for immigration reform this year. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
The Kentucky Derby is a Super Bowl of horse racing. This weekend, millions will spend a few minutes cheering on jockeys. One local teenage jockey isn't in that race yet, but he has big plans to ride his way into the horse racing big leagues. CJ Dablo shares what he's doing to pursue the dream.
Get up.
In a small corral at her jockey school, Cassandra Brannick rides in a tight circle on top of a light brown three-year-old horse. She hopes to get the very inexperienced thoroughbred ready for a big race someday.
Yep.
At 5'1" and 106 pounds, Cassandra doesn't look too tough. She wears jeans, a long-sleeved jersey, and a black vest. Her thick brown mass of hair is tucked inside her jockey cap.
You're just a baby.
She still talks like a teenager. But earlier this year, at 17, Cassandra left New Jersey for California to attend a special training school for horse jockeys. Racing is her lifelong passion.
I want to be one of the top jockeys in the U.S. That's my biggest fear, is not accomplishing that. And it will be my biggest regret in life if I don't give it my all every single day here.
Giving her all also means paying her dues to be here, which includes cleaning the stables. Her six-day work week begins before dawn. Frank Garza, the school's owner, knows she's dedicated to doing her best.
She's a fanatic, and she loves horses. And she doesn't care. She doesn't mind getting out here and getting dirty.
Frank's a retired jockey who teaches students to ride and care for the 20-odd horses on a Southern California ranch.
She's really into it. She's going to make it big time.
She knows there were other ways to become a jockey. But at Frank's school, she could start riding immediately.
I didn't want to wait. I've been working for this my whole life and stuff. I've been patient long enough. I've been patient 16 and a half years, and I'm finally here. You know what I mean? You're riding animals that can't, like, that two people can't even hold down. These animals aren't regular horses. They are nuts.
She charges down the track on a 23-year-old rust-colored Arabian.
Good boy, Chloe. Good boy.
Honestly, I'm deadly afraid. I don't know how my sister does it.
That's Amanda, Cassandra's twin sister. She came to California and is waiting for her sister to finish the six-month program.
I don't understand how my sister can just go on a horse that's going 40 miles per hour, you know, 46 miles per hour around. It's scary. I couldn't do it. I honestly could not do it.
There's a huge adrenaline rush when you're on a horse going 40 miles per hour. There's an adrenaline rush.
That's Cassandra.
It's just, you're going so fast, and it's just like your heart pumping and racing.
Frank says there is no room for fear.
If you're scared, the horse knows you're scared. You know, it's like anything else. You know, it's like somebody being a bully. You know, if you show them you're scared, they're going to get on top of you.
But her fearlessness was tested one day. During a group practice run, a classmate's horse drifted into Cassandra's lane on the track. Cassandra's horse bolted. She couldn't keep her feet in the stirrups. The horse went out of control and smashed through the outside rail. Frank saw the whole thing.
She jumped off the horse, which is a bad thing to do. You don't jump off a horse.
She landed hard on her leg and rolled several times along a racetrack packed with sand and dirt. She ended up in the hospital with a concussion, a sprained ankle, and torn ligaments. Amanda says her sister was deeply affected.
When she got injured, like, she was the most depressed person I've ever seen.
Here was Cassandra's first big test. Should she stay and recover, or quit? If she gave up, Cassandra could return home to her mom. But the twin sisters and their mom, who worked two jobs in New Jersey, had too much invested in this dream. Did Frank think that Cassandra was going to run away from this pressure?
No, she's not going to run. Cassandra's going to stay here. She's tough. She's very strong. She's a tough girl.
Keep walking.
After a few days in recovery, Cassandra started riding again. First, with the slower, greener horses. But she can look forward to the time where she could take the reins of a thoroughbred, enter a track starting gate, and hear that opening bell. For Annenberg Radio News, this is CJ Domlo.
The founder of the fashion line FUBU and star of ABC's TV series Shark Tank, Damon John, stopped through L.A. to promote his new book about branding. I spoke to him about the necessity for future business owners to develop their own brand. Tell me about the inspiration of your new book, The Brand Within.
The inspiration for the book is when we were on Shark Tank, we would judge people within the first minute or so of seeing them if we were going to invest or not. And after that, we would just want to hear any of the details that were going to make us believe that we made the right choice to not want to invest or to invest. I would start getting approached 100 times a week by people, and they wouldn't understand that before they can even open up their portfolio or give me something, I would either shut them out or I would be attracted to listen to the situation due to their personal brand and how they presented themselves.
How important is branding in this digital age?
First of all, it's your calling card, and it's the first thing people are going to see or hear of you. And it's gotten to the level that even when people submit resumes to my company, before we even call the person or decide to call the person back, we go onto their Facebook and Twitter and see what they're talking about now. So in our financial world, and we see that none of your friends are from the finance world, you're on there with your shirt off half the time, drinking every night, and the conversations you're having, then you're not getting a call back.
What was it like starting up FUBU and the multi-million dollar company it's become, and how can entrepreneurs and people who'd like to get into the fashion business make it in this economy?
Well, I started in a down economy as well. I started in 1992. Starting up FUBU was a joy because I was doing something I love, and that is the only thing that I've ever found in common with all successful people. And sometimes they're doing things they love that are not so great, but they're still doing something they love. So that was fulfilling from day one all the way till today, and I will always be fulfilled doing that. Becoming a large company, multi-million dollar company, has always been a stressful situation, but it's a fulfilling situation because you get to give back, you get to see employees, you get to first take care of your family, but you also have a healthy paranoia, especially in the fashion business, because fashion comes and goes. So it keeps you on your toes, and if you can find that balance, then you should be okay, because you're always going to be trying to look for the way to improve yourself. If you sit back and rest on your laurels and get comfortable and think that, you know, you created everything and it can never change, then you're going to bound to have a big surprise, and it's a really hard fall from the top.
What can we expect from your book?
Well, what you'll expect from the book is simplistic approach to trying to get people to understand that you are a brand from the day you were born to the day you die. And you will be branded whether you want to be branded or not. Are you in control of the destiny of what people think of you? And it's not always necessarily what you tell me. You're going to come and tell me anything and everything about you. Really, when you leave the room, what that person says about you. And that happens 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 times throughout your life. And you are branded. So you have to be very conscious about the image that you're putting out. And then when you have a company, your company is really a reflection of the morals and the base that you truly believe in, and people buy into it.
Now for our weekly segment, For the Record. The Los Angeles riots started back in 1992 on this day. The riots came after a jury acquitted four white police officers charged with beating Rodney King. The Rodney King incident started as a high-speed chase before police attacked King. It was all caught on camera and aired on TV, causing an uproar over what many saw as a racially motivated beating. After the verdict, several hundred people gathered at LAPD headquarters to protest. Soon after, looting and violence erupted. The riots lasted for 6 days, eventually bringing the National Guard and Army to hit the streets of LA. 53 people died in the riots, and it's estimated it cost more than $1 billion in damages. There were many underlying reasons cited for the riots, including the unrest over high poverty rates in South LA, where much of the violence broke out. Now we check in with Alex Goldsmith to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thank you very much, Heather. Coming up tonight on Annenberg TV News, you've heard about the protests here on USC campus. Now see them. We have the images from the protest in Han Plaza in front of Tommy Trojan. And foreclosures. Those in foreclosed homes looking for a little bit of extra time to move out. And the bank saying they've got plenty of time. We have that debate and much more tonight on Annenberg TV News. Back to you, Heather.
Thank you, Alex. If you ever wondered what Dubai is like, you can hear all about it. We sat down with a graduate student at USC who did a cultural exchange in Dubai. You can hear that story and more stories about South LA on our website, annenbergradio.org. Well, that's it for this Thursday and for this semester. Thank you to our Thursday crew, Amanda Herman, Karen Marcus, Tracy Oppenheimer, Amina Karam, Trevor Thompson, Jenna Zwang, Camilio Abuada, Elizabeth Warden, Chris Foy, Ariel Edwards-Levy, and Ryan Nunez. Jessica Flores was our producer, Timothy Beckworth, and Richie Duchon are our executive producers. Billy Higgins is our technical guru.
Thanks for everything, Billy.
And Willa Seidenberg is our director. Please join us again next fall in September for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News. I'm Heather Hope.